We would like you to remember that oral sex is sex.
It can be super affirming, like, be it for body image or even like your gender identity.
Receiving is all I desire.
Communicate your desires, vulnerabilities, and even to be like, hey, this is not working for me. Okay, so in a relationship of mine, I found out that my boyfriend had been intimate with another person. Naturally, I was very distraught. Oh. And in our following discussions, one argument oftentimes was, it was only a blowjob. Oral sex doesn't really count. This had me very confused. But is it actually true? Is a blowjob just a blowjob? In this episode, we're going to talk about oral sex, its perceptions, some myths and facts about emotional aspects, and also engage with some of the questions and anecdotes of our lovely listeners.
Welcome, everyone, to our fifth episode. In line with this, we also currently have a new masterclass on cheeks about eating pussies. So if you're interested to learn more, feel free to use our code CHEEKSYCHATS. With that, you get 7-day free access to cheeks. On getcheeks.com. There's also a link and the code again in our description for you to check it out and have the best time eating pussy.
Yay!
Woo!
So,
as you should.
Learn. What is oral? So oral sex is basically the stimulation of your partner's erogenous zones with your mouth. Other more specific names are fellatio for the stimulation of the penis, cunnilingus for the stimulation of the vagina or clitoris, and anilingus. That's the word for the stimulation of the anus. There are, of course, also many other more casual terms like blowjob, rimming, going down,
eating out, licking.
Yes, 69.
Yeah.
Gawk 3000.
Gawk 3000. Yeah. I love that. Okay.
As the names already hint, oral sex oftentimes isn't really taken as seriously as other sexual practices. And I think connected to that is also that there are very many myths about it.
But also a lot of benefits that something that is usually construed as sex, so penetrative sex, also has. So for instance, you get increased blood flow, which boosts your metabolism. And fun fact, 30 minutes of oral sex can burn up to 100 calories, which is the same as 10 minute jogging. I always find these comparisons a bit insane, but I mean,
they are 30 minutes of oral
is the same as 10 minutes of jogging, according to this little study. But I find it, I don't know, I'd rather do 30 minutes of oral than 10 minutes of jogging.
I think both sound exhausting.
Yeah, but I don't know, I just really dislike jogging. Any other thing,
fair.
Okay, but jogging, I just don't get it. And it is also a good workout for your jawline.
It is. It's like an exercise, basically, facial yoga.
Yeah, because you're just shifting it around, adjusting it.
Looks maxing through oral sex.
It also, just like penetrative sex, increases your oxytocin and dopamine. Oxytocin is the hormone that's often known as like the cuddle hormone or love hormone. And dopamine is like this positive hormone that also releases stress and it gets your body to relax. And also oxytocin often leads to you having a deeper connection with partners.
Oh,
well. According to some studies, as I mentioned, it boosts your metabolism, which can also then help your immune system. A small study of uni students who engaged in sexual activity that included oral sex tested higher for immunoglobulin A, which is an antibody that is there to fend off colds. So if you don't want to get sick, you know what to do.
Just eat out more.
It also helps you to live longer because it requires your heart and lungs to work harder.
Damn.
Yeah, I know. Just benefits pouring everywhere. And yeah, you obviously also have to do other things to live longer, but this can help. And
you can't counteract everything bad in your life with, like, blowjobs, you mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Apparently so. What a pity. And according to some studies, it can also reduce prostate cancer, but this isn't discussed far enough to be able to say this with any certainty. And there's also some studies that show that it improves bladder control because you're regularly exercising your pelvic floor, which helps with bladder control. So a bunch of fun, sexy facts that are benefits that are actually true or researched upon. But as you mentioned, there's also a bunch of myths.
Yeah, I think one of the things that often gets misconstrued in the conversation about oral is that you can't get accidentally pregnant, and that's why it's also taken much more lightly, so that you also can't get STIs. And while unprotected oral sex is very common, you can still get STIs. It still has, like, lots of risks.
So the fact that you can't get pregnant, yes, it is true, you cannot get pregnant, but STIs like herpes, gonorrhea, chlamydia, HIV, syphilis, HPV, they can all be passed on.
Yeah, and sometimes when you read about it, it even sounds, like, scary, because, like, HPV, certain kinds can heighten your risk of, like, getting throat cancer. But, of course, that doesn't mean that you have oral sex and then you get sick immediately, or, like, you get throat cancer because of the activity itself.
I just think it's important to realize that it is also possible to transmit STIs through this.
Exactly. And having said that, safer sex rules still apply. So if a penis is involved, you can use condoms. If vulvas are involved, you can use dental dams. Dental dams is something that we oftentimes don't really talk about or don't see in media or in real life.
Or in stores. It's so stressful to get dental dams. It's gotten better now. Some like chains have started to get dental dams in their stores, but a while ago you really had to shop online to get some.
I mean, theoretically, you can also do them yourself. You can just
cut condoms.
Yeah. But yeah, it would
it's
be nice
a bit less
to,
sexy. Yeah.
to get a real one.
An actual protection that's made for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think even with, like, the use of condoms, many people find it weird for oral sex to use condoms, but there's also a reason for flavored condoms and the whole industry around that. So if you're in a situation with, like, a new partner, or you're, like, you don't feel it or you want to be safe, you can demand that for sure.
For sure. I think it's a lot about how you feel comfortable and how much you trust partners, or if you both do STI tests beforehand and are then exclusive or in a relationship that is monogamous, then yeah, for sure. But if you're both sleeping with other people, there is always some sort of risk. And I think it's kind of up to you to decide how you would like to manage this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And having said that, oral screenings, it should be a regular part of your screenings, because I think that's oftentimes overlooked, especially because STIs do not always show through symptoms. One other myth that I read about that was that some people think if you, like, use mouthwash afterwards, that you, like, rinse out the bacteria and you prevent infection. But that's not true.
Okay.
I mean, that would be nice. That would be easy.
It would be a cool fix.
Yeah.
Just rinse that out.
You could also, like, put your genitals in some mouthwash. Everything's safe.
Okay, true. By that logic. Yeah, okay.
But unfortunately not.
Yeah. So another thing is related to the hygiene of oral sex. So basically something that's often said is that it's unhygienic and bad for your mouth, and that the secretion, so pre-cum or any vaginal fluid is kind of bad for your oral hygiene. But according to Dr. Damien Jacob M. Sandler, the chief of sexology and the director of the Division of Clinical Research Programs at Felnet Health Research, it does not have any different effect to oral health than food would have. And that basically means you treat it just as if it were food. So you obviously have to, like, always brush your teeth or rinse your mouth.
Yeah, as you hopefully do on the regular.
Yeah, in general. And that this also isn't, if you have more oral sex or less oral sex, that it suddenly becomes bad or is better for you. As long as you brush your teeth or have general mouth hygiene, the oral sex and the fluids will not harm you in any way.
Your teeth won't rot away because of some cum or ejaculation.
They will not.
Another very, like, persuasive myth is about the smell and taste. Many people get very self-conscious, I think, in that part, because they're like, maybe they're
so self-conscious.
Yeah, their body odor or like how your genitals taste, perhaps. But everybody has natural body odor.
Yes, I think it's super important because it's always like, especially with pussies or vulvas, it's like, it does not taste or smell like a flower. It is also not meant to. It is a bodily part of you. So I think it's really important to kind of understand from the beginning that it has a specific smell and taste, and that this, of course, varies from person to person. Like you said, as smell does, each person has kind of like a different smell. Yeah, so they also
taste.
But that this is normal, that this does not smell like a flower.
Yes.
So especially when you're starting to discover your body, you might feel a bit self-conscious because you're unsure if this is normal. And
and it's something super individual, like everyone will taste and smell different. And as long as you are a hygienic person, of course you can like freshen up before, clean yourself before, But
this is also kind of a personal preference thing, right?
Because some people don't even like smelly. Like, some people are very, like, into the
smells of it, But personally, I also feel more comfortable if I've, like, showered right before or something, just so I feel more fresh and ready to go.
Yeah, definitely. But I think some people, like, have this goal of, like, scrubbing everything off in the hope that, you're, like, smelling and tasting neutral. And this is, like, almost impossible.
Yeah, but that's also okay because it does taste and smell nice. You just have to kind of realize what the expectation is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that it is not a flower or cotton candy you're sipping on.
Yeah, but connected with that, like, idea of the smell and taste is also this, like, this dieting habits that are often
the pineapple
times,
and the cum.
Yeah, the pineapple. Like, that when you eat pineapple, you're cum is much more sweet. And this is a very interesting theory because there is no clear consensus if it's true or not. Definitely there are some rules, like, for healthiness that still apply, like avoid alcohol, drugs, cigarettes, for like your overall system to just smell and taste better, I guess. Being well hydrated is also very good for that because then you have less toxins in your systems. And also stuff like hormones. For instance, if you're a trans person, that also affects like your smell, your taste, even your bodily fluids. The theory with food in general is very linked to the idea of the pH levels.
Mm-hmm.
It's what I found. So for instance, semen is an alkaline.
Mm-hmm.
It's naturally quite bitter and sometimes salty. And some people think by eating specific foods, you can make it less bitter, for instance. So pineapple is in every guide, like we discussed already. Other fruits, herbs or spices like cinnamon, vegetables with lots of vitamin C should supposedly help as well. And the same counts for vaginas, basically, in those guides. So acidic fruits or vegetable high in sugar can aid in leveling out the pH level, especially citrus, allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
But many researchers also say that there's no like real proof to suggest that there is a real change. Like Steven Snyder, a New York City-based sex therapist, even theorized that this may be just based on placebo. So
because you feel like you're eating and you're tasting better.
Interesting. Oh, I can smell the pineapple. But that is not really, like, a thing.
Okay.
And usually, like, for instance, the vaginal taste and odor depends on your health. So if you feel that there's something wrong with your smell, it's maybe linked to your health or, like, sickness. And you can get that checked, but usually a smell is a smell.
Okay. But yeah, if you feel like something is off or you don't smell how you usually smell,
yeah,
or something might be going on, it might be a good idea for sure to ask a professional, visit a physician.
Yeah.
And check. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. And some definite tips are, like, for instance, underwear. If you have, like, breathable cotton, that's good, because if you have, like, this heat situation
breathable
down there.
Breathable cotton all the way, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I mean, you told me before. The
grandma underwear.
The grandma underwear.
I'm telling you. Game changer.
It also avoids, like, bacteria, and then your smell is better. And what some people also do that is not recommended at all is, like, perfumes or, like, deodorant on your genitals or, like,
I also feel like there's, like, a lot of intimate area wash. Which never helps, because you wash it with water because it's pH neutral, and anything else soapy just kind of ruins it and makes it...
just confuses the area.
Yeah, confuses the area and makes it unhappy, and we don't want this area unhappy. We just want it happy and satisfied.
Just let it do what it does.
Yeah, so please stay away from perfumes, deodorants, intimate wash. In with this, there's also a bunch of myths about cum or sperm, so to speak. So, for instance, that it's good for your skin, that if you put it on your skin like a face mask or something, it helps your skin. So, yes, cum is full of protein, but not enough to really kind of change your face or face structure or your, help out your skin.
The protein shake.
Yeah, really, we would recommend you stick to face care and the creams you're usually using instead of rubbing your partner's cum on your face. I mean, if you, unless it's something you do for, like, an arousal reason, something you find sexy or something, then please feel free. That both of you enjoy to rub cum on your face, but it will not make your skin better.
Just do it for fun. Do it for freedom. Don't do it for skin goals.
Yeah.
Skin maxes.
Skin blow-ups. Yeah. And there's another one also related to sperm, that it whitens your teeth. I think it's very interesting. People think it's like magic.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it is also, in addition to being full of protein, full of zinc, calcium, and phosphorus, which are the same ingredients as used in toothpastes, but also here, not intense enough or structured enough in a specific way to actually affect your teeth. So, as we said before, it is not bad for your teeth or mouth hygiene. You just need to brush your teeth as usual, but it does not come as a good stand-in for toothpaste.
I think those functional effects are super interesting, but at the same time, I have this, like, fantasy now that's, like, super unsexy, where you're doing your thing and then you're like, oh, I gotta use that for my teeth now.
Rubbing it on.
Yeah.
Gobbling, like, it up.
Or just, like, putting it on your as your face mask, and it's like, hey, you're ruining the moment, sort of.
Sorry, I really quickly need to just brush my teeth. Thanks. So these are also some myths.
Another myth around, like, the wording also, oral sex, is that you should only use your mouth. And obviously oral sex is called oral sex because it's largely done with your mouth, but you can still use your hands.
Yeah, like, or toys.
Even. It can be super intimate still and even help you, because using your mouth for, like, 1 hour or longer or even less can be super frustrating or, like, exhausting.
Yeah.
And you can get lockjaw or just tire out. And so you can switch it up. Even for the experience itself, it can be nice for the recipient to just feel different sensations. So it's maybe switching from hand to toy to mouth to everything at the same time. So
bit of a sensory overload.
Yes. Overload him.
Yeah, and one big point that is heard often also is kind of that oral sex is just foreplay and is not proper sex, which you also alluded to in your little, let us call it anecdote, and proceed without further commentary on this particular situation. And I also asked some people the other day if they would kind of consider their first time to be the first time they had oral sex or the first time they had penetrative sex. And because a lot of people don't consider the first time they had oral sex the first time they had sex. Or this is also something that is sometimes commented on when you have anal sex before. So this whole concept of preserving your virginity is oftentimes linked to it, and that you only did oral sex to preserve your virginity. But we will also at some point do a whole episode on virginity. This is a very patriarchal construct or way of seeing things, and it is not true that oral sex is just foreplay. For me, if you would ask me if I had to choose only oral or penetrative sex that I would have to do for the rest of my life in whatever scenario that question might be asked, I would choose oral sex, for instance.
Yeah, I also think it's super unnecessary to categorize it so strictly, right, that oral sex is just foreplay. I think it can be, but also foreplay is sex in a way, because sex is not just like penis in vagina.
For
it's
sure.
It's like a set of activities. It's like an experience. And it can be the case that you warm up or like start with like oral and then go to other activities. But it can also be the standalone activity or like the main event.
For sure. Because I think arguing that you have to have penetration to have sex kind of is part of this underlying heteronormative view of what sex is, and that sex is only there to have the chance of reproducing, which sex is not only for. Yes, you can reproduce for sex, but you can also have sex for intimacy or for fun and for pleasure, first and foremost. And it also, in this classic viewing of it, kind of devalues queer sex, where you kind of then say that you have to have this penis and vagina combination, which you obviously do not. You can have sex in all different types of ways. And if oral sex is your main act or your favorite act, that is completely fine. You do not have to add it with penetration. And it also, for people who have vaginismus, who cannot engage in penetrative sex, saying that if they have oral intercourse that it does not count is also super problematic. So I think rethinking what sex is and understanding that it is kind of a shared moment of intimacy, and that oral is one of the things that you share through intimacy, which also has basically the exact same benefits as we realized earlier, that penetrative sex has, is super important.
Yeah, and it does not make sense to put that prescription of what is sex and whatnot, because it devalues super many people and like their way of having sex.
And I think I understand that kind of in the script of more heteronormative activities or activities that lead up to penetration, in this kind of script, or it makes sense that oral play comes first if you're doing it with someone who has a vulva, especially because this helps you to get wetter and that helps you have more lubrication for penetration. But that doesn't mean that it is only something you do before the sex. It is already the sex.
Totally. And I think it's a bit mean to be like, can you imagine you do oral sex for like an hour or so, and then afterwards, like, there was just foreplay. There wasn't the main event. Like, everybody came and it was just like, that was not sex. I would be offended. Like, I would be like, haven't I given enough?
This was great. Leave me alone. Yeah, I don't need this. What negative commentary on this. But I think we also saw that the Kingsey Institute at the Indiana University said that around 71% consider oral sex to be sex. So we see that there's kind of been some rethinking, and we hope for everyone to get some rethinking, not only for the queer community, but also for straight people who kind of maybe want to switch up their script and maybe have more focus on oral sex instead of penetrative sex.
Yes. And especially for people who are like very tied to that concept of virginity, because it can be very persuasive to, I think, especially for people with like their first sexual experiences, to be like, oh, let's do oral, because that doesn't count. You're still a virgin. You're still, that's not real sex. That's like child's play.
Yeah. And it is interesting to kind of see how the perception of oral sex has changed.
Mm-hmm.
As sex, or on the same line or worse than, for instance, historically in the medieval times or the so-called Dark Ages, in the West, and the medieval churches thought that going down on someone would go against biblical instruction, and you could go to jail for doing it for 15 years.
Oh, God.
Which is the same sentence you would get if you killed someone at the time.
Just as bad.
Yeah. So, yeah, there it was really, really targeted.
Damn.
As a negative thing. Whereas in ancient India, with the Kama Sutra, it was kind of like part of the sex life and script. There's an entire chapter in the Kama Sutra even on oral sex and the art of blowjobs. And there's like different ways that are detailed how to, you can give blowjobs, where some are, because it's the Kama Sutra, which is, in case you don't know, like this very ancient Indian book, where there's a bunch of different sex positions, yeah, that are shown. And also there's a bunch of positions that are shown for oral sex, where some also do indeed require some stretching before. So yeah, there it was kind of seen as a great and positive and fun thing in line with other sexual activities. And we find in the southern hemisphere of the world the first example of a documented blowjob 26,000 years ago, which was in ancient Egypt. So as we see, the global south was a bit more ready to go with oral sex. There was a big story in ancient Egypt, which is kind of a myth from Egyptian mythology, where a bunch of things happen. And Osiris is the king of Egypt and the god of fertility and agriculture. And there's this whole story where his brother is trying to conspire against him. And then he gets killed, and the wife has to embark on a journey, and pop, 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 things are going wild. But in this whole thing, she finds kind of she tries to patch up this body together that was placed throughout the Nile, and she gets every part except for his penis, because a fish had already devoured it.
Oh, no.
And she then uses kind of like a golden phallus to replace the penis on the body she's reassembling. And she drops to her knees and gives this reconstructive corpse of her husband and a blowjob on this like fake penis, the golden phallus. So this is
the necrophilia.
Yeah, damn. The first blowjob ever to exist in history, where Isis reassembles Osiris's body.
The first documented blowjob.
The first documented blowjob. 26,000 years ago, so a long time ago.
Yeah.
And she then, in this, blows him back to life.
Damn.
Yeah.
How poetic.
I know.
The blowjob.
Mm-hmm. It's a very fun story, I'm not gonna lie. Totally enjoy that.
She is like loyal to death and back.
Yeah. She's like, I will do anything. And yeah, I think kind of this whole separation we see kind of in ancient Egypt and India, that is kind of seen as a more sex positive society, where oral sex is then seen as something that is discussed and talked about. We then have, of course, colonization. And with this, kind of these more frigid concepts and taboos that oral sex is kind of dirty and forbidden still up to the 1950s and 70s in the US and the Western Hemisphere. And then with that, also the colonized places, this all became a lot more taboo and not deemed socially permissible. And yeah, in states like Michigan in the 1970s, there's still an anti-sodomy law which criminalizes oral and anal sex.
In 1970s, that's not that long ago. It's not that long ago.
Yeah. So really, yeah, we see a drastic comparison between the West and the global South, and also the detrimental effects, once again, colonialism had.
Yeah.
In another aspect.
Totally.
Yeah.
Another example for the perception of oral sex in the West, or the United States to be more exact, is the Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky sex scandal in 1997. And the way the scandal was handled highlighted the discrepancies between oral sex and intercourse, and especially how like people can warp that and like transform that to present themselves in better ways. So basically, Monica Lewinsky and Bill Clinton had sexual affairs. Monica Lewinsky, a 20-year-old White House intern, kept a dress with the semen stain from giving oral sex to the former President Clinton. And this stain was further blood and DNA examined, and it was confirmed that the semen was from Clinton. Clinton denied the allegations, famously stating, "I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky." And in an interview with Barbara Walters, Lewinsky described her actions with Clinton as fooling around, implying that sex was just child's play.
And again, that it is not proper sex.
Yeah, that it's not proper sex. That it's just like something light, something fun.
Like a hug.
So this scandal basically contributed to this like misconception that oral sex is not real sex.
Yeah, because they completely downplayed.
Completely,
The White House completely downplayed.
And that's so embarrassing to be like, oh no, it was just like...
It was just a blowjob.
Calm down, people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we see how this kind of scandal also helped with the misconceptions that are still, as we see up to this day, persistent, because we still have these myths that we just talked about.
Mm.
Even though I think it is not as much of a taboo in general society necessarily in the West anymore. It is shown more in films, especially in terms of like female pleasure, if we think about Bridgerton, etc. So there is some sort of change happening, but it is still kind of hushed upon and a taboo.
Totally.
All over the world.
I think even like in some recent years, I think like in the 2010s, there was like this research, if you showed like female oral sex scenes, the movie gets rated 16. And if it's like a blowjob on a guy, it's like still PG-13 or something like that. And even when we were researching the history, I feel like much of it was just about like the penis, like the blowjob.
For sure. We also looked for studies, and there's so much more studies done related to oral sex on people with penis versus pleasure of people who have vulvas, etc. So there's also still a huge discrepancy that is only now starting to, in minimal ways, I guess, kind of step for step, hopefully continuously be looked into more and researched on.
Totally.
More.
Interesting topic for the future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's hope.
But like in general, it's very interesting that we oftentimes see this like downplaying of oral sex, because in fact, something that we want to talk about now is like the emotional aspects and the boundaries and things like that that are very integral or like consequences of oral pleasure. Like the activity itself is so intimate. It's sort of like giving your undivided attention to one person. And usually, like in our orgasm episode, usually it's around like two people, but in that moment, it's just about the recipient.
Yeah.
Except if you're like 69ing or something like that. But there's something very sweet about that, like this giving the other person this moment, just like having patience, wanting to satisfy the other person's needs in that moment. That's very intimate. And I think that's why it's so weird that it's downplayed oftentimes, because it strengthens so much of this emotional bond, or like gives so much room for that.
Yeah. And I also think you're kind of vulnerable, right? Because it's just about you and your body when you're receiving. There's someone like doing something, and it's a lot of focus all of a sudden on you and how you're reacting. And I think this can kind of create a stronger bond. And also, yeah, it's also a bit sexy. As I mentioned earlier, like, perceiving is all I desire. Really.
My most favorite quote of you.
Yeah, it's just undivided attention is sexy.
Yeah. And I think now that you mentioned it, like, in both roles, it holds, like, a certain vulnerability. Because, like, even in the other part, you sort of, like, I don't know if subjugate is the right word for that, but you sort of, like, do almost this, like, act of service for the other person, or, like, you...
You're giving a gift.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're also kind of giving it to yourself, because, yes, the gift of receiving is phenomenal, but the gift of giving can also be super hot, because you kind of see how much the other person is enjoying themselves, which is super hot.
Yeah, totally.
The idea of turning someone on like this that you're attracted to is very, very sexy.
Totally. And it's like this very unique way of celebrating your body. I think also in the role of the recipient, it can be super affirming, like, be it for body image or even like your gender identity, that it can be so nice to be in a space where you're safe or like have this pleasurable moment. And I think, especially like with gender identity sometimes, that it's just about feeling accepted, feeling like safe. And sometimes even like the terms, like the way you call your genitals or like the way they are engaged with, or maybe even not used or like engaged with.
Mm-hmm.
So that can be super... I don't want to use the word affirming again, but yeah, super affirming experience. Yeah.
That's so nice.
I think in the other way, probably the other way around, it can be the same, that it can be a super uncomfortable experience if you're not like in the right headspace or with the right persons. So that's always something that's super important, to like communicate your desires, vulnerabilities, and even to be like, hey, there's not working for me, let's stop.
Yes, I think especially I have now voiced very much that I love oral sex, but that doesn't mean I always need to have oral sex, or that it is always given, or I want to experience it every day with this person. So I think it's super important, as with everything, kind of to figure out what state of mind you're in, if this is something you want to give right now or if it's something you want to receive, and to be able to communicate that, and also how you want to give and receive it. Because I feel like I've been in a situation way too many times where I've given a blowjob and someone has like pushed my head down, and I was like, okay, we did not agree kind of on this. Like, if this is some sort of dominance play, please inform me beforehand so I can kind of prepare, or say that I want it or I don't. Or like pulling your hair, which is all okay if it is discussed before and you've okayed it. But if you haven't been asked, it's like, excuse me, what is happening? So I think for all, especially because it is a sex act, and as with every sex act, you should get consent, but also because it is quite an intimate one that leaves you quite vulnerable, I think it's super important to discuss if you want it on that day, how you want it, and what also kind of expectations are in regarding to like the actual technique. So if someone would like you to deep throat, or if someone would like you to swallow, or if you want that. And I think with these things, it's super, super, super important to only do it if you want it and if it turns you on too. Because for instance, also for deep throating, there's whole techniques you can do with like toothbrush where you can practice your gag reflex to kind of calm down. Mm. But if you don't deeply in your heart want to be able to deep throat and are only doing it because you think you have to, and this is like a skill you've seen before and think that you cannot give good blowjobs without it, I think that's completely untrue. I think you can give phenomenal blowjobs without doing a deep throat technique. So I really, because also the tip of the penis is kind of the most sensitive part of the penis anyway. So deep throat is also a lot about like a dominance thing, which can be very sexy, but also if you're only both into it, because if you're suffocating just to please someone and not having fun, that's kind of not the point. Mm. And yeah, so.
Yeah. And I think it's the same as with previous topics like body odor, smell, body image, that if you're feeling not in the right headspace, or maybe like with the right person for that, you don't have to like necessarily push yourself to be like, okay, but I have to do this now.
For sure. Please never push yourself. No. If you are not intrinsically motivated to give or receive oral sex, or in a particular way, or on that particular day, don't.
You don't owe anyone anything in that regard. Yeah.
No. And for this, it is super important to communicate. Also, if you kind of agreed upon that built scenarios. So for instance, me and my partner have agreed that I will eat her pussy. And then I think it's super important as kind of both giver and receiver to discuss things like faster or slower, harder or softer. For instance, I like... when I receive, I have this thing when it's too much for me that I tap the person 3 times. Mm-hmm. Because squishing hands, I just enjoy doing. But if I tap them very specifically, I also show them before. Like I tap very specifically so they know that if I do this, because I'm not always the best at giving verbal cues. But if you are good at giving verbal cues, just be like, sorry, can you go a bit slower?
Well, that's a nice strategy.
Yeah, for me, I've learned to kind of tap. So if you are also feeling insecure to give verbal cues, perhaps test it out. And you can kind of figure out with little things like that, if you discussed before, what you want, what you don't want, and how you're going to interact and communicate during the sex.
Yeah, and same as with our like orgasm episode, there's no need for the pressure of like, oh, I will come too quickly, I don't come at all, because that's also something that not every person is automatically doing. Like it can feel great, but doesn't mean that you're like jizzing all over the place.
For sure. But it also doesn't have, you don't have to end with an orgasm.
Exactly.
Maybe that's just not the day, or not what you're in for it for. And that also doesn't mean it was bad. That doesn't mean you are bad at giving oral sex if you don't always make your partners come, or if you've never made them come even. It might also be, as with me, people give me great oral sex, but I do not come, and it really has nothing to do with them.
Anatomies are different. People are in different headspace, but I think sometimes it's just like people respond differently to different things, so...
For sure. And you kind of, with time, get more used to each other's bodies and anatomies. And I think with this, we can also kind of hop on over to tips and techniques kind of we can give, where number one is always learn the anatomy, not necessarily of the specific person first step, but like generally looking at how does a vulva look like, or how does a penis look like, or how does an anus look like? And where are the most erogenous zones? For instance, the clitoris, where there's like 8,000 nerve endings that are just waiting to be aroused. And to kind of figure out where these parts are, so you know kind of, okay, this is what I have to focus focus on when I'm giving oral sex, and then to kind of look at your partner's genitals, because each vulva and each penis, or especially vulvas, do look a bit different and are individually pretty. So you kind of have to figure out maybe where the clit is, but I would encourage everyone to indeed find out where it is.
Yeah, and finding out about everyone's personal preferences will, in the best case, happen while doing it, or like asking before, but you will find out like while what the other person likes, what they don't like. Communication again.
For sure. And if you both don't have that much experience, or I think for me it's also different what I like based on the partner that I'm doing it with and what they like. So I think things you can try are different positions. For instance, you just lay down on your back is one position. You can also turn around, lay on your stomach, or kneel kind of doggy style and they lick you from behind. Or you can sit on the face, where one tip is also kind of if you have one labia lip that is more sensitive than the other, that you take up that leg so you're not kneeling on the face, but one of the legs is up and you're on your foot, so that this lip is more exposed and more tongue energy can be invested there. And I think then you can kind of test out, you don't necessarily have to start right at the clit. It might be nicer to kind of slowly get there, caress the thighs, slowly move around and then to the clit, and not to start too hardly, but to start up bit more softly and then go more intensely, kind of see how things are. So adjusting pressure, adjusting pace. Also, if you're playing with the tip of your tongue or the entire tongue, or if you're like using your lips with like kisses or shaping your lips as an O to really like suck, or blows can sometimes also actually be interesting at the clitoris. Can all be kind of interesting things that you can test with each other. Also kind of seeing if maybe you want to have a pillow under your lower back to kind of have a better position to reach everything. You can, as we mentioned before, add some fingers. You can test some power play. You can, for instance, tie up the person who's receiving it if they're into it, so that they're kind of exposed to the pleasure and can't really grab onto anything. And I think with this, the wetter the better is always something super important to remember. So the more saliva you have, the nicer it kind of is. And then you can...
More slippery.
Yeah. More slippery it is.
And again, it also helps with like to prevent friction, because that doesn't feel nice. It's just like this feeling.
For sure.
It's better, for sure.
But as we mentioned before, there's an entire masterclass on Cheeks right now with like tutorials that explicitly show you how to eat pussy and different techniques and tips. So really, we can recommend with the code CheeksyChats description and link below the episode to really check it out, because there you will really, from sex experts and sex workers, will get a very, very in-depth lesson on how you can do this in a way that is pleasurable, or how you can test it with partners.
Yeah, for analingus, it's analingus?
Analingus.
For analingus, I think most of the same tips apply, basically, as like with eating out. The anus is also super sensitive. You can use your tongue in different ways inside or around the anus. And there are different positions, like for instance, rimming in doggy style. I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory. Or like...
eating it from the back. Yeah.
Eating it from the back, basically. Yeah. In missionary position, where you like have your legs up, for instance. And these shifts in like your legs or angles, positions, can also change the feeling of it a lot. So it's interesting to test that out. Here also, like, a pillow for support can be used similarly to like eating out, as you mentioned. Another thing is also face sitting. I think it's also very self-explanatory. the active partner just lies on their back while the passive partner
basically sits on the face.
Totally sits on their face. And yeah, of course, be gentle. Don't crush your partner except
if they're into it. Yeah.
Other things are like standing room jobs, where one is standing and the other one is kneeling, basically. And with all of these positions, you can also still stimulate their other erogenous zones or like genitals.
Oh.
You could even start with the genitals and then move to the anus. So, for instance, start with oral sex on, or like with licking the vagina and then moving down to the anus. But here it's very important to mention to not mix it. So to not go back from the anus to the vagina. Just to like not cause any bacterial infections. It doesn't have to happen, but it's good to be safe. Like,
The vulva doesn't like the bacteria from the anus.
Yeah, and
but
I would
the
say
the anus doesn't mind the vulva bacteria.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think it's the same with the penis. So
yeah.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean like, oh my god, your genitals are going to explode, but maybe it's good to be aware of that and just to stay weary.
Yeah, for sure. Then, finally, for tips and techniques, we have blowjobs, where we also would say saliva is important.
Lots of
to keep that
spit.
Wet. Yeah.
Yeah. I think generally what's also with blowjobs or like oral sex, you can also use lubrication, like lube.
Yeah.
Of course, it's a bit more finicky because it can taste weird. So you have to be wary with like water-based, silicone-based. You don't want to swallow too much of like silicone-based stuff. But usually that's all safe because it is designed for your body.
Yeah, and also if you are giving a blowjob with a condom or something, there's sometimes also like a bit of lubrication on it. Yeah, also on the tasty ones.
Yeah, totally.
But I really don't like those.
The flavored ones?
Yeah. I would rather use a flavorless condom.
I mean, it's also very artificial, right?
Yeah, it just tastes a bit weird.
Like strawberry. Sort of reminds you of the smell of like vapes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyways, blowjobs.
Yes.
Most people prefer if you don't use teeth. Or like a little... But not too much.
But yeah, teethy blowjobs have a very bad PR rep.
Yeah.
I swear to God, people really are very angry if you use your teeth.
But yeah, there you can generally also be creative with your tongue movements. Mm-hmm. With like people that have penises, you have lots of areas to explore, basically. You have like the frenulum, the tip of the penis, the shaft, the balls. You can also move down to the taint. And yeah, lots of opportunity to change it up, basically.
For sure. And for all of this, as we said, kind of saliva or lubrication is important. And you can use lube, you can use lubed condoms, you can use your saliva. You can, as we meant, you told me this earlier, if you kind of, I like to keep water by the bed. I do this. You told me about that if you eat fruits before
or chewing gum,
that it waters your mouth, so you have more water. But I personally also always have like a little water bottle on my bedside to kind of prep in between, like an athlete.
Short break.
Quickly, like, okay, continuing now. I can really recommend that, though. So
yeah. It makes sense. Like, also hydrate before. Always a good tip. I think for every episode we can say that.
Every
basically.
Time it's hydration, and I hate drinking water, so every time I'm just here nodding like,
have to.
Okay.
Yeah, but there are also some tips like, I think we talked about that before too, like mouthwash, like some life hacks, but that this is also something very individual and something maybe you want to try, or like maybe cold or hot water,
Yes, this I'm super interested in now. I'm really going to test it out to kind of...
Yeah.
So you take an ice cube and then you put your mouth on it, yeah?
Mm-hmm. But I think this is also very individual. Not everybody will
Not
like
everybody
it.
Likes
because
it.
Because I've had good reviews.
Good and bad reviews on this, okay. Yeah.
For now, just good, but... But maybe there
I'm
are
a
people...
star!
Please, I'm a star! Yeah, but usually, like, you can also start out slower. You maybe start with kissing, the tip and then slowly get into more like...
But also, I think starting slowly in general, usually it's a bit much if you just then put it in your mouth straight away.
Right?
You do usually go there slowly, right?
Like, and also for like the cinematics of it, like the drama, I'm like, oh! Huh?
Yeah, excuse me.
I was waiting for some build-up.
Go down slowly, be dramatic, give me some cute eye contact.
Wait till the music rises.
Yeah. I mean, some people like it kind of like roughly just starting ASAP because it can also be like a fun, quickie thing. But if you have time and you're both in a mood.
Yeah, that can also be hot, like the quickie.
The quickie can be hot, yeah.
And what's also important to mention for the blowjob on a penis is that you can mix it very well with your hands. Like, you can use mouth and hand at the same time. For people who are into it, you can even put a finger in the butt.
Yeah.
And one finger in the butt, one on the cock, one the mouth on the cock, one the tongue on the ball. Just be... the human twister.
Sorry, God. But it also, I think it's important to understand that...
Sorry.
Not me smashing it now with my hands testing it out. But I think what's important with the blowjob is, like, kind of the perception of a blowjob is also that you have to have the entire dick in your mouth. As you mentioned, it's not true. You can use your hands, where also adding some lube might be nice.
Yeah, or some spit.
But that... a blowjob is also kind of kissing or licking or having parts of the penis in your mouth, not necessarily the entire thing. And I think blowjobs, for me, are a lot more vulnerable than eating pussy because I kind of... there's something big in your mouth and I do have problems with the gag reflex a lot. So I really need to take my time, start slowly, etc., 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 because otherwise, it's just stressful. If the other person is stressing me, I'm like, okay, I cannot do this.
Yeah.
But if the other person's calm and I'm calm and the expectation isn't you go from zero to deep throat in 10 seconds, then I think it can be a lot of fun.
I think a lot of things that people enjoy about deep throats can be sort of emulated, like the noises, the saliva, so you don't need to... perform it, like, and as you said, the tip is the most sensitive part.
But I also thoroughly enjoy moaning very loudly when giving oral sex because I think it's hot and I hope they think it's hot. But I also find it sad when people, especially men, when you give them blowjobs, are afraid to kind of moan because they think it's
they're just like
they're kind of holding it in or like breathing, and I'm like, please, it would be so hard. And also would help me kind of to understand, because yes, you can communicate like, this feels good, but you can also communicate it through moaning.
Yeah.
When you moan louder, I know, okay.
And when you moan off tune, you know, oh, this is bad.
Like, sorry. I think these are kind of the tips and techniques, and we kind of asked our Cheeks community also if they had any questions or thoughts, and there was like a lot of positive memories about
We got lots of nice anecdotes,
cute ones about their oral sex experiences.
For instance, we had many that said that they really love oral sex and that they helped with exploring orgasms for them. So one of the anecdotes that we got is, with my current boyfriend, I come so many times already before his tongue, I only came alone. So here we also can see again that it can be such a bonding experience and so nice to, experience your preferences together. Another anecdote or story that we got was, my best experience has been T4T sex and someone taking the time to learn what I like.
Super lovely.
Yeah. And T4T basically meaning trans for trans. And this is like another super nice example for like showing, taking the time to learn what the other person likes.
And looking into,
Yeah, and finding out together.
For sure.
And especially for that like-minded people or like people going through the same things, especially like in queer relationships, can be super helpful. So,
and gender affirming.
Yeah, and super gender affirming, yeah.
Yeah, so nice.
So we hope that everybody can find that in some regard.
But I also think what's important to mention, because now we did a very woo, we love oral sex episode, which is also kind of put forward by my love for oral sex. Sorry, but to also kind of mention that if oral sex is not something you enjoy giving or receiving, or even if you only like receiving it and don't like giving it, that is also okay. Or if you don't like receiving, just giving, that is fine. And I think if you're kind of having issues with it or don't want to do it or try it, please just be open and communicate, because nothing is worse than doing a sexual act you aren't into.
Yeah, exactly.
And we were also asked some questions, for instance, what to do if you're kind of having issues with senses or your sensory organs, it's not happening the way it should. So I think there we noticed that you kind of just have to test different things. Mm. But also some people might have kind of too many. It might be too intense. I have this sometimes when people are going too hard on my clit. I'm like, okay, it's too much. Mm. So you don't feel anything, because it's kind of a sensory overload. So I really think kind of testing out different paces and pressures, yeah, and positions are super important, and communicating. And as we mentioned before, if you're having sensory issues because you're stressed, because you're not actually doing something you would like to do, please stop doing it.
Yeah, or even if you're like neurodivergent, mm, and things like that, oral sex is very different if you like receiving than giving. Maybe one of the two is not for you.
Yeah.
Maybe both are not for you, and there's nothing wrong with you for that. And you can explore that with your partner or with somebody. And if you notice, hey, this is not working, maybe try another day. Or maybe you can see that maybe a certain activity is not for you, because like any activity, not everybody likes it. I think for some people, blowjobs also don't feel great or don't really do anything for them. So that's also normal
and fine. But I think if it's something that's just not really happening for you, or you notice that you feel like you're not really enjoying something that you used to enjoy, or something is changing, maybe it's good to talk about it with a therapist individually, about mm-hmm. your individual experiences, because there might be an underlying cause for it. But also to talk to a physician if you feel like something your genitals has changed.
Yeah. And another question that we got was how to make it as safe as possible while still being arousing. So I think
first of all, consent is super arousing.
Yeah, like we said in the orgasm episode, communication doesn't mean that you have to break the intimate moment, or like that you have to like break the intimacy.
It makes the intimacy hotter.
Yeah.
But I think especially, yeah, I'm also not someone who's very good at giving verbal cues. But if you kind of discuss it beforehand in your communication, how you will continue to make it as safe as possible during the interaction. So if you either have a safe word, mm, or if you have like you press the hand once, it means stop. Or if you press the hand three times, it means go harder. I don't know. Or if you verbalize this, it can mean different things. And I think you just have to kind of prepare.
That's super, super important, like preparation, especially if you notice like, hey, I'm a person that in the moment I maybe have difficulty of like voicing or showing my boundaries. You can prep in a way where you can prep the partner, but also yourself to be like, hey, this and this are my boundaries. Or like you can set the scene for yourself a bit that, especially if you're like nervous about STIs or something, that you like both get your statuses checked, then you know for sure, and maybe that part of the anxiety gets a bit relieved, and in that way you can hopefully make the activity itself a bit more pleasurable or safe.
We really hope that you enjoyed listening to us today talking about all things oral, from histories to communication to debunking myths and giving you some tips and techniques. And we would like you to remember that oral sex is sex, and that it can be pleasurable, and that you it is super important for it to be pleasurable for you to communicate with your partners what you would like, for you to test out different things, and also to realize that if it's something you don't enjoy giving or receiving, to be able to put a stop to it. And if you're enjoying it, feel free to test it out in different scenarios and really enjoy it.
Yeah. Explore.
Explore and have fun.
Yeah. And as we said at the beginning, you can feel free to check out the Cheeks Pleasure Academy
masterclass on eating pussy if you want more details. But in general, on Cheeks, we also have a bunch of tutorials for the other oral sex practices. So code CHEEKSYCHATS, link in bio. And have a wonderful time exploring and checking it out. And we will see you with our next podcast episode in 2 weeks.
See you there.
Thanks for listening. Bye.